From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. The Eugene Airport, or EUG, is a critical part of our community's overall infrastructure environment that has to serve myriad needs in our region. It's a hub for business travelers to the Silicon Shire. It's a major port of entry for tourists visiting the coast, Willamette Valley, and the Cascades. And it's the first place many national and international athletes arrive at when they compete in our world-class sports venues. And it's in need of expansion to accommodate a growing community and growing travel needs. Today on the show, you'll hear from the assistant director of the airport and learn about how they plan to grow the airport, accommodate more overall need and use patterns, and look to attract even more carriers to get passengers to and from the places they want to go. Like so many other industries and institutions, a graph of customer usage for airlines and, locally, the Eugene Airport would look like a massive valley in 2020 during the height of COVID. Unlike some industries, however, that valley now shows a sky-high peak as travel has come roaring back throughout the skies and here in Western Oregon. Today on the show, we check in at EUG and hear how things are going. Andrew Martz, the Assistant Airport Director at the Eugene Airport. Thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, pardon the pun, but why don't you give us the 30,000-foot view of what's going on at the airport?
Well, it's an exciting time to be at the Eugene Airport. We're getting more and more service from our airline partners, and we're keeping busy. In fact, tomorrow we add nonstop service to Austin on Allegiant Airlines. And then next Tuesday, we get another new one on Southwest with the direct service or nonstop service to Sacramento. So really excited. Our airline partners, we meet with them regularly. They're all very happy with how Eugene is going, and we're bursting at the seams. So really what it means is we really need to expand. We are full. So it's making it challenging to add new service without doing an expansion. So we're looking to next summer bump out the A-gate holding area so they'll add more seats because it gets a little crowded up there sometimes.
Sure.
As people probably know. And then we're going to do some reconfigurations to try and squeeze aircraft parking in wherever we can. Then the long-term vision really is we really need a new concourse, Concourse C is what we're calling it, to add some more gates.
Wow. Any idea of when that might happen?
Gosh, the C concourse, you know, it's a ways out.
Okay.
We've kind of done some initial high-level design to kind of figure out the where we would put it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's really, you know, we got to figure out, okay, how are we going to pay for it?
Because sure.
It's not a small price tag, unfortunately.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you were talking about, you know, carriers and new airlines coming in. I wanted you to kind of maybe this is inside baseball, but I'd be interested to know, how does that happen? Does the airport, do they say, hey, you know, do you guys get together and say, boy, you know, we'd love to bring in carrier A? And do you kind of make outreach to them? Or is it that the airlines say, hey, we really want to expand certain routes in the Pacific Northwest? And so, boy, you know, EUG might be a great place for us. How does that sort of, how does it start this idea of adding more either, you know, new carriers or expanding routes from existing carriers?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll say it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay.
So we meet regularly with airlines, both the airlines we have and other airlines that we think would serve our community well. And we just create a dialogue and we bring the data that we have that show, you know, where people are flying. The airlines publish the data, so we can see if someone leaves from here and goes to, say, Seattle, we can then tell what their ultimate destination was. And so if we can show that, hey, we've got a lot of people who are flying to X destination, we'll call, say, Chicago, just
sure.
as an example, we think there's an opportunity for you to have successful service. And so we'll just keep bringing that data to them, keep showing it to them. Then ultimately, it is up to the airline to determine where they want to fly or if they want to serve Eugene in a small capacity or big capacity, depending on the airline. But yeah, I'd say it's really just about relationship building with the airlines and bringing the data to them to really show that there's real possibility in Eugene and it'd be worthwhile for them to come.
Sure. So like, for example, when Southwest came, I imagine, you know, for many of us, it was sort of an announcement we saw and, oh, that's exciting. But I imagine for you all, that's a years long process, isn't it?
Oh, that actually took about 10 years.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. About 10 years of just putting ourselves in front of them and saying, hey, we think Eugene would be a success for you. And gosh, they came and they're really doing well and they're super happy.
Yeah. No, that is exciting. So, you know, I kind of wanted to ask you sort of as we're sitting here in, you know, end of May 2024, kind of can you give us some details about is flying back after the generational shock of COVID? You know, kind of what are your numbers saying in terms of that rebound?
Well, we are way above where we were before COVID. We're rough numbers, about 40% more passengers than pre-COVID. Across the industry, we're really seeing record numbers of people flying. Every month, it seems like there's another record. Really, the biggest limitation on the airline industry right now was pilot shortage, and it still kind of is a little bit, but then also all the troubles that Boeing's having, that's really impacting their ability to deliver new aircraft to airlines. And so that's putting some pressure on their ability to add routes and scheduling and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I imagine so. I think looking back at during the time of COVID, I thought many of us, probably myself as well, were thinking, boy, you know, it may take decades before, you know, people are willing to travel to get into an enclosed space like a bus, like an Uber, like a taxi, like a plane. It seemed that the flying public came back maybe even quicker than certainly a lot of us thought. Did it surprise you that people sort of were you know, excited to get back on planes fairly quickly?
Oh, I don't know if it surprised me, but, you know, it was, you know, obviously we took a pretty big hit during COVID. We were down to 5% of the passengers, which is pretty normal across the industry. But yeah, it's, like you said, it really has come back strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's important to note that, you know, the air inside an aircraft is, well, it's definitely cleaner than the air outside with all the pollen we got going on right now.
Sure.
But, I mean, it is filtered to a really extreme degree.
Yeah.
And so I think once people realize that, and then, you know, I don't know, for me personally, I realized that, you know, COVID, one lesson I got out of it is like, it's great to get out and see the world, right? It's a privilege. And I think a lot of people are having the same thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Andrew Martz. He's the assistant airport director out at the Eugene Airport. You know, obviously, you know, taking a flight from Eugene is sort of one step in the process. Talk a little bit about kind of, you know, perhaps talk to us about some of the new or improved ways to get to the airport to begin that flight journey.
You know, there's multiple ways. You know, obviously there's a vehicle, whether you drive it yourself or get dropped off. You know, there's always ride shares, you know, in the community. There's taxis, that we have a shuttle service operated by Groom that brings people from the U of O campus and the Oregon State campus here. So unfortunately, we don't have LTD bus service. So we continue to talk to them about that. It just doesn't seem to be a good fit for them. But yeah, that's it. Those are pretty much the best ways to get here.
Yeah. And then, you know, I know in we just talked earlier about some of the expansion plans. Is there an idea that part of that plan would be to increase parking and certainly the long term and those sorts of, you know, surface level parking that obviously a lot of people utilize?
Yeah, we just did a parking expansion last summer, much needed one. And we do have plans to expand our economy lot in the next, well, we're hoping next year, but, you know, the next two definitely to really expand those out. You know, for a regular day-to-day load, we have pretty good parking availability. But then obviously in those holiday months, we get pretty full pretty fast as people leave their cars here for longer periods of time. But to answer your question, yes, we do have plans to expand our economy lot.
Okay. Maybe take us sort of up into the air a bit and just give us some general, you know, kind of whatever, however you want to characterize it in terms of how is flying these days? Are there any specs? We talked about that there's been a great increase in the number of flights after COVID. You know, how is the industry doing in terms of, you know, on-time arrivals and delays? I don't know if you have any numbers about that, just generally speaking. You know, we've heard that certainly, you know, weather patterns are changing. You know, turbulence could be on the rise because of some warming issues. And I'm just wondering, you know, kind of generally speaking in terms of when you talk to colleagues and whatnot, you know, kind of give us a quick from your vantage point, kind of the state of the flying industry right now.
Yeah, you know, safety is primary for airlines, airports. Our whole industry is built around that. You know, flying is extremely safe. I mean, it's safer than driving. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, yeah, there are concerns about, you know, what climate change means as far as, you know, weather and you mentioned turbulence. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are things that have always been around. It's just they're changing. So we need to adapt with it mm-hmm. and make sure that we keep that safety as rule number one.
Boy, Andrew, you know, summer is just around the corner. You know, kind of what do you anticipate in terms of the busy summer travel season ahead and what you can expect at the airport?
You know, it's going to be a busy summer, both mm-hmm. here in Eugene and across the nation as far as flying goes. This past Memorial Day weekend was the busiest Memorial Day weekend ever.
Wow.
And so we expect that to continue. You know, people are flying and people are traveling. And I think it's going to be a really busy summer.
Yeah. Let's expand upon that. Give us your kind of tips for if people obviously are planning vacations, going to use Eugene Airport. Give us the tips that are best to make sure that, you know, you get to your plane, you get to your destination on time. You know, kind of what are the best counsel for the flying public?
You know, I think specifically here in Eugene, I would really recommend that people get here early, especially if they're checking a bag, especially during our peak times, you know, mm-hmm. early in the day and then that kind of midday period. It's not as quick to get through Eugene as it used to be when we were a lot smaller. So I would just advise people to get here early and then always check with your airline before you come to the airport. That way, if there is a delay that's already happening, you can kind of factor that into your travel plans.
Okay. Are there any particular routes that you're going to see a big increase in the summer travel season? You know, are there destinations or hubs that people are going to use to get to other destinations where you really see a spike in the flying public?
You know, really all of our routes see an increase. But then, you know, we do have several major hubs that we serve, you know, among them would be Seattle, LAX, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, and some others. So obviously those are the ones that people are using to get elsewhere, whether it be international, East Coast, or somewhere else. So those routes always are strong and they're always busy, but summer, they just get even more so.
Okay. I imagine that, and it might be something that you've sort of historically, you know, kind of looked at in terms of, you know, kind of in our market, I imagine that there are still, you know, a sizable amount of people that make the 2-hour drive and fly out of Portland. Are we seeing less people doing that because of the increase in routes? Do you still see that, you know, oh, if somebody wants to fly, say, to New York, they're going to drive to Portland, but if they want to go to the Bay Area, they're going to stay here? Kind of how does that work in terms of obviously, you know, just a couple hours north is a larger airport that serves more communities? Kind of how does that sort of shake out in terms of the flying public?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, since the pandemic, we've seen we've had 14% more of the people that used to drive to PDX than did before. And I think there are several factors to that. One of them is, I don't know about you, Michael, but I don't know the last time I made 2 hours to PDX with the
traffic. That's true. That's a very good point. Yeah.
Everything north of Salem, it just seems like it's always busy now.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we had Southwest come in. So, Southwest, people really love Southwest and they would make that drive. They don't have to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And then also just, you know, pricing wise, Eugene and Portland for domestic flying are very similar, if not the same. And so that pricing difference that used to drive people to Portland generally just isn't there anymore for domestic flying.
Okay. And could you give us an update? I think a lot of us have heard about this. I believe it's called the Real ID, and so I'm a little confused in terms of, is that a mandate now that pretty soon when you go and show your ID at airports, regardless EUG or others, that you're going to need this Real ID system? What's up with that?
Yeah, so this is a different kind of driver's license. Mm-hmm. And in Oregon, they put a little star on your driver's license. That's how you know it's a real ID. And so it's not mandated yet, but it is coming. Mm-hmm. May of 2025 is the current date. It had been scheduled to do it last year, but then with everything going on, they pushed the date out.
I see.
Currently, you don't need it, but come May of next year, so a year from now, you will need the Real ID. And that's something you go down to the DMV to either get when you want to do it or during your renewal process.
Okay. And then let's expand upon that a little bit. Are there any new sort of either restrictions or requirements that might be coming down, you know, the pipeline in terms of when you check in? Or is it pretty much the same as we're used to? And especially for those who want to, you know, kind of get into the quicker line and doing the FAA check, kind of give us sort of the details on sort of the check-in process and how it may be evolving over time, and including security and new technologies to screen passengers and whatnot.
Sure. Yeah, I think one of the biggest changes from the passenger perspective is the check-in process, more and more use of kiosks and the app. I mean, if really the best way to do the check-in process, whether you're checking your bag or not, is get the airline app, get your information on there. So all your boarding pass and information's on there. And then there's kiosks, so you can print your own bag tags. And then they have, the airlines have like quick baggage drop lanes that generally go faster than the regular check-in process. TSA, here in Eugene, they do a fantastic job of getting people through. Average wait is 20 minutes or less. And that's great for the amount of volume in our peak times. And so I don't think there's anything really new in the TSA process. You know, they still have the same restrictions, and you can always see what those are on the TSA.gov website.
Yeah.
Good to check if you have any questions.
Got it. So, we talked about sort of expansion of or potential expansion and the plans for expansion of the overall airport. I wanted to dial down on that because obviously most of us, we go to Eugene Airport to fly commercial, but maybe talk about, you know, the expansion or the need for expansion for those private aircraft that are out there. Talk about sort of the non-public flying aspect of what's going on at the airport.
Yeah, so we call that general aviation.
Okay.
So that would encompass private pilots and then also our corporate pilots and jets and planes and aircraft. And so we have a really robust general aviation community here. And we value them. And in fact, one of the things we did with the new Concourse C expansion plans is that we actually slightly shifted the location of it so that no general aviation hangars would have to be moved or taken down. So it'll have zero impact on that community.
Okay. You teed up this a little earlier. I wanted to also just kind of talk a little bit about it. You know, it's funny because I think... In my memory, anyways, I don't remember seeing, you know, advertisements for pilots or pilot training. But I understand that there is an issue with pilot shortages. Talk a little bit about that and how that's sort of impacting the industry. Because, you know, as I said, I have heard that there are many industries that are suffering through a lot of shortages of finding qualified people. Talk a little bit about how you're seeing some of those impacts with regard to a pilot shortage or potential, you know, pilot shortage.
Yeah. So, due to COVID, there was a kind of a larger than normal bubble of retirements, early retirements. And then, now that we've bounced back out and we've got this increased demand, We're really feeling the pinch of having not enough pilots, and then specifically not enough captains, right? So it takes a certain number of hours, and it's quite a few hours, in order to be able to qualify to be a pilot. So a commercial pilot, I should say.
Okay.
So that's a limit, and that's a, you know, it's a good thing. It's a safety issue, but sure. it that time makes it more difficult. We're lucky here in Eugene. We actually have the LCC flight school. Mm-hmm. So we have pilots training to be commercial pilots here in Eugene, and that's a great resource.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Andrew, my last question is this. I think it's always interesting, you know, especially we're such a kind of a unique community here in Eugene. And what I mean by that is, you know, major colleges, but also major sporting events like track that attract the world. And certainly we saw that with the World Championships and, of course, the Olympic trials and all sorts of amazing things that happen at Hayward Field. My last question for you is it must be kind of interesting and fun being at the airport. And a lot of times you're getting flights, you know, connecting flights, but all of a sudden, you know, whereas Eugene may seem sort of typical of a middle-sized airport, but then all of a sudden, you know, here comes a contingent from Senegal or Norway or something like that. I just kind of wanted to see what it's like to kind of experience that international flavor at our airport.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things we're lucky about here at the airport. We do have, you know, both the state schools, Oregon State and University of Oregon. So we get a lot of international travelers just because of that. But then, as you say, with our sporting events, especially the World Athletic Championships, really just a robust group of people from all over the world. And it's really, really exciting and really great. And that's one of the things we love about the airport, is that we can be that central point for all these people coming to our community, and you know, we're the first thing they see when they enter in, and they're the last thing that they see when they're leaving. So we really take that passenger experience very seriously and want to make it as positive as possible.
Good enough. Well, Andrew Martz, the Assistant Airport Director at the Eugene Airport, really appreciate you coming on and talking with us.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
That's the show for today. In case you miss any of this or any episodes of Oregon on the Record, all the shows are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear from the leaders at OSU Cascades and learn how that small campus is taking advantage of creative land use to be able to grow and grow. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.